Well, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, finding victory over codependence. My name is Maggie. Maggie. I'm still kind of suffering from COVID and wheezing, so if you have to come up and resuscitate me, just, you know, slap me a couple times, I come around again. I came to recovery about, celebrate recovery about 10 years ago when my family was in crisis. I learned that my daughter was abusing alcohol, and I came here to learn something like the five easy steps to fix somebody else. Unfortunately, I'm still looking because I learned I was codependent and I could only fix myself, and with God's help, all things really are possible. I was born in Portland. I grew up near the airport, and I lived in the same house until I got married at 18. I was one of four kids and the oldest daughter. I had a lot of responsibility growing up, helping with the house and with younger kids. My parents were hardworking people, and we were probably low income, but we didn't really know it. Gifts came from the Goodwill, and we were thrilled with anything. My dad was not an educated man, but he worked very hard to provide for us. He was handy at building and maintaining our home. My mom was able to stay home with us until I was 14. She was creative at stretching a dollar to feed and clothe our family. She was a terrific seamstress and an organic gardener before organic was popular. My dad suffered from mental illness, worry, and anxiety. It was hard for him to maintain relationships outside the home. He was paranoid and he thought everybody was against him. It meant he changed jobs often, had few friends, and he was often in a state of upset. He had phobias about leaving the house and could only go to a few places around town. He was unable to travel outside the city most of my life. My dad functioned best when he could control his home life and things were in order. He couldn't tolerate a lot of silliness and foolishness. I don't know why I was born in that family, but chaos at home made him angry, and he was a harsh discipliner. I protected myself by keeping my belongings picked up, staying quiet and under the radar, and I always kept my feelings to myself. It was easier to cooperate than to question my dad. We were taught respect, and we were raised with discipline. I had a fear of punishment, and I was careful to do the right thing, at least when my dad was watching. I feel sorry my dad's illness was never addressed because I know he suffered terribly. I have fond memories of my dad. He's gone now, but he was very affectionate and funny. I never doubted his love for me. He expressed it often, but I found it hard to feel safe as he was very unpredictable. I never felt totally at ease when my dad was home. My mom, on the other hand, she was fun. My mom worked tirelessly to care for us. My dad's illness prevented him from being much of a support to her, and she carried a big load with four kids. She tried to compensate for my dad's harsh discipline by always being cheerful, even when the household was falling apart. I have memories of my mom going around the house saying, "Happy, happy, happy, everybody, get happy, let's be happy." She ignored dealing with unpleasant things. I've learned that's called denial. She was lenient when it came to discipline, and I took advantage of her more than once. I think she tried to make up for my dad's harshness. My mom was adventurous and had a desire to travel, but my dad's inability to leave the house was hard for her. The few times we went on an overnight trip, he would get a stomach ache and get sick from anxiety, and we'd have to come home early. Once we took a trip to Yellowstone, we saw the entire park in one day and we were home in record time. I think we were also the butt of jokes in the family, too. I think my mom must have been overwhelmed because she was not very available as I was growing up. I never remember having a heart-to-heart talk with her. She was busy with younger kids and housework. I desperately wanted attention from her, especially in my teen years, when I had questions about boys and growing up. I found it hard to feel loved by her. I enjoyed school, and I was a good student. It was a relief to be away from my stressful home, and I had friends there. I found it was easy to please most of my teachers by working hard and being responsible. But I had a fifth grade teacher who was very harsh and strict. I was hospitalized with unexplained stomach problems, and I missed a month of school. I had a lot of health issues as a kid that were probably stress-related. As I entered high school, my parents divorced and my dad moved out. This was a confusing time. Although it was a relief to be without the tension I grew up with, I missed my dad and the security of the strict structure that he provided. I associated that control with love, and I desperately wanted it. My mom was now single, and she returned to work. She also began dating, and I was left home to be the caregiver. My mom would get dressed up in fancy clothes and be picked up via various dates. A lot of men came in and out of our lives during those years, and I saw some things I shouldn't have seen. I would get attached to one of her boyfriends, and then my mom would move on to someone else. This loss, coupled with the loss of my dad in our home, was very hard. I grieved the breakup of my family. There was never any kind of family counseling to handle the grief. We were left alone to fend for ourselves while the adults were out living a fun life. However, I was about to find the answer to my loneliness. I discovered boys. I began dating at 15, and I was sexually active by 16. I was very young, and I didn't know anything about dating, except what I witnessed from my mom. I had several year-long relationships with boys in high school, always older than I was. I didn't know how to build a healthy relationship. I looked to older boys to provide the control and care that I craved. I was immature, clingy, demanding, and bossy, not much of a girlfriend. I imagined each of these boys would marry me and we would play house. But boys at this age are not interested in settling down. There were frequent arguments, breakups, and lots of drama. My family attended church periodically on holidays and special occasions. I did have several longer times in Sunday school, but didn't go long enough to really understand much about the Bible. I liked going to church because the teachers were caring, and I liked treats. I know I must have heard some stories about Jesus, but I never caught on as a child that he died for my sins. I was curious about spiritual matters. I asked my mom once how you got to heaven. She told me you could go there if you were good enough. My dad told me you floated up there on a leaf. This was confusing, and I always worried about how good was good enough. How would I know if I was good enough? I don't think my parents ever knew about how you get to heaven. I was invited to a high school Young Life event by some classmates when I was 15. I began hearing about Christ's sacrifice on the cross, and I asked Jesus into my heart at a retreat later that year. I never shared this news with my parents. I didn't think they would understand, and I was afraid they'd make me stop going to youth group. I didn't belong to a church, and it wasn't until years later that I began to fully comprehend that my sins were completely paid for. I didn't grow much as a Christian during my teenage years, but I did always know that I was saved and I would be in heaven someday, and this was a comfort to me. During my senior high school year, my mom remarried and made plans to move us to a new area. It meant having to change schools and leave my boyfriend, and he was my security blanket. When he proposed, I said yes, and we were married right after graduation. I was not mature in my faith, he was not a believer, and this was a recipe for disaster. I was excited about my new role as a homemaker. I pored over cookbooks and kept the house clean, trying to create that perfect home and family life I always wanted. I thought if I kept the perfect home, I'd be loved. I expected my husband to protect and care for me. Unfortunately, we were just two kids from broken families trying to live a grown-up life without any skills. I was a neat freak. He spent too much time at the bar. The fighting, arguing, and my nagging started soon after we were married, and we were divorced 2.5 years later. I was very ashamed of my failure as a wife. Newly divorced, I was lonely and confused. I didn't seem to fit in anywhere. Both my parents had married and had new families and new homes. I lived on my own for the first time, and it was really hard. This would have been a good time to draw closer to God and ask for his healing, but instead I looked to the outside world for the answers to my happiness. I eventually began dating. I engaged in some very risky behavior, drinking, partying, and sex. I was fortunate I never got pregnant, raped, or caught driving under the influence because I certainly put myself in some risky situations. I know now that God protected me and cared for me during this time. I went on a quest to repackage myself and find a new identity, so I took up skydiving. It gave me the attention, notoriety, and identity I craved. I had a group of friends at the drop zone. I belonged. I was somebody. We jumped into weddings, retirement parties, and 4th of July fireworks. I had plenty of thrills, but I was never very good at it. I landed in a tree on a farmer's property. I had to be taken down by the fire department and wait for the hook and ladder truck to come from another city because Estacada doesn't have any two-story commercial buildings. Ambulances came, and I did make the front page of the newspaper. I found my notoriety, but it was only the Estacada Times. The farmer's tree had to be cut down to get my parachute out, and he wasn't too happy about it. I hit more than a few fresh cow pies, usually they were warm, during landings. That was really glamorous. I finally broke an ankle, and that really clipped my wings. This wasn't the new identity I had in mind, and the next year wasn't pretty as I hobbled around in a cast on crutches between surgeries, x-rays, and physical therapy. But something wonderful did come of that. When I was up to here in a cast, I met a stable, calm, accountant type named Paul, and he was attracted to thrill seekers. I think I inspired him to live life on the edge because he proposed after only 18 days, and we were married in a fever. We built a family, we raised our daughters, and I still love him more than ever after 44 years. And I always say, who else would put up with me? I did talk him into one parachute jump, but he didn't think the pain was worth the thrill. Well, opposites do attract. As I became a wife and a new mother, I was extremely happy with my little family. I could finally play house. I had a place. I belonged. This was my opportunity to do it right this time. I poured myself into raising our girls and making a home for them, but my old insecurities still remained. I needed to maintain order. My two girls were well-dressed and well-behaved. The house was clean, homework was always done, and everything was in order before I went to bed. I wasn't a pleasant wife or a mother. I nagged. My perfectionism took a toll on my family and my health. I began suffering from anxiety, headaches, and migraines. Through those early years, the Holy Spirit began working on me, and I found my way back to the Lord when my kids were young. We began attending church as a family. We were involved in Bible studies, and our girls were learning in Sunday school. I loved God, and I wanted to please him, but I felt like I needed to be worthy or pay him back. Our family was in church at every opportunity, worshiping and serving. On the outside, it appeared I had a good grasp of the Bible, and I was thriving. But on the inside, I was still very broken, and I felt a need to please God. I had shame for the sinful way I'd lived in my past, and I thought if my church friends ever knew what I was really like, they'd drop me. I thought when I got my act together, I would be worthy of God. Then I could have a relationship with him. It would be many years before I was able to replace this faulty thinking and truly experience God's grace and love for me. I always thought I was a good listener, and to feed my desire to connect with people, I spent hours on the phone listening to other people's problems and their sad, sad stories. I thought if I'm not really the perfect homemaker, and that wasn't my thing, I must be meant to counsel people. I seemed to attract people with problems, and I felt very important giving advice. I could charge in on my white horse and rescue the hurting. I would be the hero. I had now found my purpose in life. After all, doesn't the Bible tell us to be long-suffering? Aren't we to love the unlovely? Well, I desperately needed the unlovely to fuel my ego and my need for self-importance. I had my own counseling service, and I didn't even need any training. I knew just enough to be dangerous. I would spend hours listening to people, often at the expense of my own family. At times, I felt like a prisoner held captive on the phone by someone, but it made me feel very important to have people trust me. I got a high off of other people's problems. The burden of others' problems was taking a further toll on my health, and I was having anxiety and sleeplessness. 10 years ago, we came to a crisis point in our family when we discovered that our daughter was an alcoholic. All my counseling and advising of my friends couldn't save my daughter from her destructive alcohol abuse and many suicide attempts. I read books. I tried to control her behavior. I took care of her children. I made excuses for her. I covered for her, paid her rent, fixed her car, tried to protect her from stress, but nothing seemed to keep her from relapsing. Through family counseling, I began to hear about this concept of codependency. I read a list of self-diagnostic questions. I think there was about 4 pages of them. Do you feel responsible for the actions of others? Do you feel compelled to help others before considering your own needs? Do you easily get depressed, lethargic, or sick when you help others? Are you experiencing symptoms of stress, headaches, stomach upsets, sleeplessness? Well, there was a long list of questions, and I could answer yes to every one of them. I knew I needed help, and I found my way to Celebrate Recovery. It took me a little while to feel comfortable sharing in a small group. I was afraid others would recognize my insecurities and that if I ever started crying, I'd never stop. Well, actually, I haven't. After a year, I joined a step study. I think the timing was right, and I had suffered long enough. In my step study, I found a group of ladies whom I could trust with all my hurts, who would still love me despite my brokenness. My sponsor provided wisdom and balance when I faltered. She encouraged me, kept me on task, and she would not let me quit. Being able to open up about the insecurities of my childhood was very freeing. I examined my past and my need for control. I began learning to take care of myself and let others take care of their own problems. I learned doing things for others that they should be doing for themselves is not loving, it's enabling. I began learning about setting healthy boundaries. I learned self-care and new ways to handle stress. The most eye-opening thing for me, the codependent, was principle one, realize I am not God. I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, and my life is unmanageable. Imagine that. I'm not God, and he doesn't need me, but I need him. I realized my arrogance and pride in trying to be God because I never trusted that he could love me enough. I learned that control is not love, it's really insecurity. I learned that worry is the opposite of trust, and I'm learning to trust God. When I gave my inventory to my sponsor, I realized I had been codependent even as a young child. Trying to protect my dad from stress and unpleasantness was just the beginning. Protecting other family members from punishment by taking over their responsibilities or trying to keep them out of trouble was codependent. When I came to amends and forgiveness in my step study, I was able to recognize that my parents had hurts of their own, and they did the best they knew how. I was able to forgive my dad for his harsh discipline and forgive my mom for not protecting me as a child. I had to work through some remorse and regret as I examined my critical words towards my husband and my daughters and my need for them to fuel my ego. I've made amends for the way I disciplined my children in harsh ways and for failing to teach them about God's love. I'd spent too much time meddling in others' affairs and not taking care of my own. I learned the most loving thing I could do for my alcoholic daughter was to allow her to suffer the consequences of her actions and to let her clean up her own messes. And it wasn't until I said, "Enough, you are on your own," that she began to make progress. I had to come to a point where I said to myself, "I cannot stop her from killing herself if she's determined." I turned it over to God, and I trusted that He knew best. And she is now working a full-time job as a pharmacy tech. She cares for her own children and is a wonderful mom. I now have relationships with healthy people in my life, and my marriage has grown richer. I'm very fortunate to have other family members and friends who understand and encourage me in my recovery. We enjoy holidays and get-togethers. I have loved seeing my daughters grow into mothers. I feel more at ease. The Lord has blessed me with an understanding husband, 2 forgiving daughters, and 6.5 grandchildren. I can now be a grandparent and not parent my grandchildren. I'm learning about God in my quiet time. Through this time, I'm continuing on with my recovery. I've developed a new hunger for God's word. Scriptures that I taught my kids in the past are coming back in meaningful ways. I am learning to work on one small character defect at a time. I lost my mom last year. The sorrow I feel is for the relationship I never had, but I'm making sure that I have a healthy relationship with my own daughters. God has also taught me about His grace. Romans 5, 1 and 2, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace in which we now stand." It is my faith that brings me grace, not whether my house is perfect. There is nothing I can do to add to or take away from this grace. I've always loved God, but I'm learning to appreciate now how much He loves me. He chose me. He died for me. And by grace, He saved me. He sees me as whole and complete. I am worthy in His eyes. John 19:30 says of Jesus when He was hanging on the cross, and Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, He bowed His head and He died. It is finished. Jesus' death on the cross did it all. He was enough, and I am enough. Jesus resurrected and went to heaven, and I know I'm going to be there someday. I've acknowledged that I'm not God, and neither were my parents. Control is not God's way. God's ways are gentle and loving. My favorite Bible verse, Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I found a wonderful support system here at Celebrate Recovery with my sponsor, leaders, stepsisters, and friends. I have friends for a lifetime, not perfect people, but people who are on a journey to live a full and healthy life. I spent a lot of time at the beginning of my CR experience circling around, afraid to get involved. If you're fairly new to CR, don't circle around too long. Life doesn't get easier on your own. God has made us to be in community with others. We need each other. Take part in a small group. Start sharing, sign up for a step study, and meet new friends by volunteering for a service opportunity. You'd be amazed at how many people you get to know when you're making coffee. You will find hope and healing here. Thanks for letting me share.
Ha, ha, ha.